Greetings from the East Coast. I've been immersing myself in the dark and sticky world of epoxy, and frankly I think I'm lucky to have got out alive. It's all to do with my sailfish's lifting keel, which is both one of the boat's chief virtues and vices. The wind-up keel means that we're way ahead of bilge keelers when it comes to the art of high-altitude strandings. Long after the bilge folk have crabbed sideways and bumped to a halt on the nursery slopes of humiliation, sailfishes are merrily scudding about off-piste above the tree line, drifting through meadows of edelweiss. You see, with the keel up, the flaky underbelly of a sailfish floats in just 9 inches of water, which considerably increases our cruising area. And in those fuzzy margins between sea and land, a limbo with no latitude and longitude, a purgatory without a postcode, that's the kingdom of the sailfish. But then there's the downside. For all its high-altitude antics, the keel of the sailfish can also be vulnerable. A few years ago, the back edge of my keel, which is like the trailing edge of a wing, had been rasped open somehow, perhaps by a mooring chain. I jacked the keel up into the cabin and bodged a make-do repair. Since then, I've studiously avoided any opportunity to inspect it. It's a logical extension of the childhood belief that if you close your eyes, no one can see you, and it's a technique that's served me well over the years. Certainly, I wouldn't be where I am today without it. In fact, I might not even own a sailfish. But then again, there's no point in being bitter. When I lifted my boat out in January, I could avoid the keel issue no more. Living behind a boatyard in Maldon, it was the first time I had the opportunity to have Marlin hoisted aloft by a crane so I could wind the keel down, inspect it and remove it if necessary. Unfortunately, it was. With its 200-pound lead ballast, I heaved it up the hill into my back cave beneath my house and basically scrunched my eyes shut to make it invisible. But it wouldn't go away. Batcave, by the way, is the word I use for my garage, and I think it's not entirely inappropriate. For example, Batman has a Batmobile, utility belt, and a faithful old retainer called Alfred. I've got a sailfish, a futility belt of bendy pound shop gadgets that fall apart in your hands, and Julian and Ted. I know it sounds bleak, but it is. Unsummoned, this devious duo, who've taken me on as part of a nautical care in the community program, descended in a flurry of damp gabardine and tweed, and using levers and geometry, hoisted my keel onto my workbench. Then they cackled like the evil Joker and the Riddler from Batman. This was the last thing I wanted. It made the keel virtually impossible to ignore. Every time I swooped into my subterranean cavern in my 1989 Batmobile Volvo 240 GL estate, the keel affronted me in the headlights arc. I was running out of ideas fast. In a desperate ploy to avoid tackling the keel issue, I took solace in the written word, particularly PBO. One of the best ways of avoiding doing things is to read how-to articles, and PBO's full of them. For spiritual guidance, I turned to the Sailfish Association's brilliant Modifications and Repair Manual. But despite my best efforts, a plan was beginning to form. And just to be sure, I decided to use the three condoms approach and employ every single method I'd read or learned about. This involved gluing together the trailing edges of the keel with some special stuff supplied by 3M, then stitching it together with mono wire, and finally, epoxying the lot, using every single substance ever inhaled by our very own Jake Kavanagh. Daily, I descended into my lair, wearing mask, goggles, overalls and surgical gloves, until after about a month, I eventually built up the courage to actually touch the files, canisters, pumps, resins, hardeners and softeners of this weird science of epoxy. The neighbours were inquisitive and suspicious, regularly nosing in to check I wasn't about to blow up the entire neighbourhood. And that was actually a vital part of my safety and survival procedure. Because if it all went wrong, I feared it might be years before my remains were discovered. with a sailfish manual epoxied to one hand, my other hand epoxied to my keel, and my nose epoxied to my mobile phone, as, in my final death throes, I made one last desperate attempt to call the Jake Kavanagh 24-hour epoxy helpline. Somehow I survived. And now all that remains is to reunite the keel with the boat. But there is one sticking point. I went to see Noddy, the boatyard owner, the other day, to ask him how best to lift the keel onto the boat. The clearance between the keel and the socket is very fine, so it's a real precision job. He said, "Dave, didn't you think about that when you took it off?" I'm thinking about it now.